Well, after living under lockdown and modification for so long, you know, I think that it's safe to say that we're all kind of feeling a fresh dose of hope these days. And, you know, maybe it's kind of a cautious optimism kind of a hope, or if, you know, we're a little on the pessimistic side, it might be like a waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of a hope. But as I was preparing for today's message, I spent some time reflecting on my second sermon that I preached in March of 2020 during the lockdown. Now, I'm sure all of you remember it and could dictate it to me back word for word, right? I'm kidding. I don't even remember what I said. The only reason that I remembered it is because I went back and read through stuff and kind of thought through what I've been preaching on in terms of the last couple of years, actually. And then I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to share today. But in that March of 2020 message, I talked about how long Noah, his family, and all of the animals were in the ark. And I remember at that time learning for the first time that they actually spent a whole lot longer in the ark than I had previously known. You know, I hadn't ever realized that after it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, that they all just floated in the ark for another 150 days. For whatever reason, that was in the Bible, but that detail just kind of just went right past my brain. And then it went on even longer than that. You know, so imagine that. You know, you've got nothing to do. You got nowhere to go. You know, you think that COVID lockdown was boring. They didn't have FaceTime. They didn't have Zoom. They didn't have text message. They didn't have all the different things that we have to kind of help ourselves get through the day. They didn't have the great baking craze of March and April of 2020. And on top of that, imagine doing it with a bunch of stinky animals in the boat. If some of you who have boys as sons are like, yeah, pretty much sounds similar. Anyways, but moving along, you know, most scholars who put the timeline together say that they were in that ark for about a total of 370 days. Some people say a little bit more, some people say a little bit less. But basically, it was a year of their lives that was spent in full-blown lockdown. A whole year of celebrations missed altogether, a whole year of celebrations modified at best, a whole year of sadness and tremendous loss. And yet, it was a year to reconsider in their life what was most important. Does any of this sound a little bit familiar to you from the last year? Well, as of today, it has been 14 months or 436 days since the stay-at-home order was given on March 13th of 2020, a date which will unquestionably live in infamy, a year which will live in infamy in all of our lives, a year that has been forever seared into our minds. Over 600,000 Americans are gone. A grand total of 3.4 million lives have been lost worldwide. You know, we thought that we knew and understood tragedy, and we quickly learned that we didn't. We thought that we knew and understood hardship, and we quickly learned that we didn't. I've read articles that describe how children who are growing up right now, including my own, are going to be labeled as Gen C because of how dramatically COVID has affected their lives and how earth-shattering it's been for them, that it has literally altered the course of their lives. Now, COVID is still raging in many parts of the world, of course, especially in India, and we need to pray for that country. But by the grace of God, many countries are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel, especially here in the United States. And so in light of the fact that we are beginning to exit the ark, so to speak, proverbially, I thought that today's message would be a perfect bookend to that March of 2020 message when I preached on Genesis 6 through 8, where everyone went into the ark. What I want to do today is I want to preach from Genesis 8, 18 through 9, 1 on what Noah and his family did as they exited the ark. And so my message title today is A Few Things to Think About Before Returning to Business as Usual. And if you got a Bible, go ahead and open it to the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 18. Genesis is super hard to find in the Bible. It's the first book, so you can just go ahead and open it right there, or most of us just fire it up on the phone, and you can do it there. And as you turn and swipe there, let me share with you one point from my March 22nd, 2020 sermon on Genesis 6 through 8, the chapters leading up to this one. And here was the point that I shared in that message. I shared how you can find favor with God when your world is falling apart. And Genesis 6:9 tells us that Noah found favor with God, even though not just his world, but the world was falling apart. And Noah found favor with God specifically because he was a righteous man who was blameless in his generation. And the Bible says that Noah walked with God. And I'm resharing this point with us today to remind us all that, yes, it has been a hard year, but the favor of God has still been upon you, hasn't it? We're here today. And I also shared that God's favor is ushered in by faithfulness to do what God says. And so Noah did what God said, and Noah did what God asked, and that is why the Lord showed favor to him. And the same reality that was true for us in March of 2020 is still true for us today. And so it will always be true tomorrow as well, that God's favor will rest upon us as his people remain faithful to him. So with all that said, we're going to read the moment that Noah, his fam bam, and his animal fam bam. How many got an animal fam bam? I got a little animal fam bam going too. As they all got out of the ark after some 370 days. Let's pray, and then we'll read this story together. Oh God, we just thank you so much that you are in control of all the events of our lives. You know our days from beginning to end. You know the number of hairs on our head. Lord, you know all the hardship that we go through. You know the tears that we cry that nobody will ever see. God, you see all of it. And you ordain for us to have good works laid out in store for us that we should walk in them. And so, Lord, today we pray, Lord, that you would help us to consider our path before we go back to business as usual. And so, God, I pray today that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see. I pray you'd open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. And God, most importantly, we always ask you to open our hearts today, that we'd respond and become the disciples you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll start in Genesis 8:18. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, and everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. So everyone walks out one by one, family by family. And man, to say that there would have been tears of joy would be a grotesque understatement. They had literally survived a world-ending event. And I also want to point out that God doesn't say in this text, oh, you know what? Great, man's good now. Sin's over and the world is reset. No, in verse 21, God says right then again, hey, listen, man's intention of his heart is still evil from you. And God knew that sin would still be around after he reset the world from Noah. And God knows that sin will still be around in our world today, despite everything that God has done for us and Jesus has done for us. But imagine how amazing it must have felt. And you know, in a weird way, I think all of us have a little bit of a better idea of how glorious that moment must have felt for them to exit the ark. You know, it might even have felt a little bit like this. Roll the video. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment is arriving. We are entering the park on day one after 400 and how many days? 21 or something of closure. I get to go in on the first day thanks to my good friend, Cameron. Oh my goodness, here we are. We are officially back in the park after all these days. Holy moly, this feels amazing. We entered the gates of Mickey with praise and thanksgiving. Not praise, thanksgiving. Well, praise to the Lord, not to Mickey. Yes, if any of you are wondering, I went without my family and I got to go because I feel the judging eyes right here and right now. I know, okay? And I got to go because my friend had one spot in his foursome, okay? And he asked me. And so before any of you judge me in this room, be real, you would say yes too, all right? Also, in other news, Lisa was totally supportive of it, and said, we're going to go actually another time as a family soon, and so everything was fine. But, you know, going back to certain activities just like feels liberating in your heart and in your soul, doesn't it? Just a little bit. It's a reminder of the goodness and of the grace of God that he got us to this point back in our lives after living through such a horrible pandemic. And I've got a few lessons today that I think we can all learn from Noah on what we all need to consider and do and think about before we just go back to business as usual. And so the first one is this. If you came in today, you got a note sheet, you want to follow along, you can do it on paper. You can do it on your phone at lovehopecity.com/notes if you're trekking along at home or wherever you're watching today. And the first thing I want you to write down is this. Some moves of God are so big that a simple thank you isn't enough. A sacrifice is warranted. Here's what Noah did. Instead of just saying thanks to God, Noah made a sacrifice. You know, Noah's first recorded event after he exited the ark was to make an offering to God. And you know, imagine what the Bible could have said or what Noah could have done. It could have just said, Noah and his family all got in a circle. They joined hands, they closed their eyes, and they said, thank you, God. And they went back to their life as they used to live it. But that's not what the Bible says. Instead, something else happened. You know, and isn't that what we often do when we get out of a problem in our life? We pray to God and we say, oh God, get me out of this problem. And by the grace and the goodness of God, more often than not, he gets us out of the problem, right? And then when we get out of the problem, if we remember to do it, we close our eyes, maybe we open our Bible and we say a prayer and we say, God, thank you for getting me through that situation. God, thank you for giving me that job. God, thank you for giving me that spouse. God, thank you for giving me that car. God, thank you for giving me that home. God, thank you for helping my health to get better. And I could go on and on. And eventually, because God is a good God, he answers our prayers. He helps us get through what we're going through oftentimes. And if we do get through it, you know, we often say a quick prayer thanking God because we know that's kind of the Christian thing that we're supposed to do. And then we just go about living our daily lives as usual. Well, Noah knew that in this particular instance in his life, that wasn't enough. See, God had just destroyed the world because it was so wicked, and God picked Noah so that he and his family would be saved. Now, sure, Noah and his family also had to choose to obey God, and they had to build the ark when everybody made fun of them and said, what are you doing making a big boat in the middle of the desert? It's not raining here. And so Noah definitely was obedient, and that's part of why God blessed him. But Noah knew that a little thank you prayer in this particular instance wasn't going to cut it, and so I'm going to reread verse 20. It tells us the very first thing that Noah did when he exited the ark. It says this, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, I want to remind you of Genesis 7:9. I'm not going to read it, but that's that part that depicts that famous picture where the animals walked into the ark. How many by how many? Two by two, right? And we all have seen the pictures in the Sunday school books. And so all the animals go in there two by two. They go in male and female. And so let's assume, as it had been a year, that some of those animals during that length of time had babies, right? That probably happened. But they couldn't have had that many that would have multiplied during that time span. And so the supply of animals was definitely limited. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 8:20, then, in other words, as soon as they got out of the ark, the very first thing that Noah did was to make this altar or the sacrifice, build the altar and make some sacrifices on it. See, the Bible wants us to know that was the very first thing that Noah did was to build that altar. And he took one of every clean animal and one of every clean bird because some of the animals weren't considered clean to offer, but he took one of everyone that was. Now, let me explain this to anyone and everyone who might not quite totally understand what's going on. That meant that he killed them. And they were gone, and they were used, and they were burnt up to God as a sacrifice to the Lord. And, you know, I kind of imagine someone going over to Noah and talking to him right before he does this, you know? Like maybe one of his sons being like, listen, Dad, we know you love God, okay? I mean, Dad, I mean, God knows you love God, okay? I mean, he picked you when the whole world was falling apart, and God was like, I'm going to use this guy. And then, Dad, you did it. And so, listen, Dad, you don't really have to prove anything right now, okay? And Dad, can I just kind of remind you that, you know, our supply of goats and turtle doves and stuff like that, we're kind of short these days. It's not like I can just go down to the local goat store and pick up another one down the road. Dad, are you sure that this is what you want us to do right here and right now? You want us to kill a perfectly healthy goat that can make more goats. And no one knew. He's like, listen, in this case, a simple thank you is not enough. God had wiped out the world and he saved us. And Noah had personally witnessed God faithfully lead his family to safety. Noah trusted that God would faithfully replenish their supply of livestock as well. And man, this was a huge sacrifice. Make no mistake about it. And it probably affected the future of their supply. But Noah trusted that God was in charge of their supply. God was in charge of the stock. And God could replenish it and multiply it just as much as he had taken it away. Do you want to know what most Christian folks are going to do in this post-COVID era? They're going to close their eyes. They're going to say a little prayer, and they're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from this season in my life. And then they're going to go right back to their lives as they used to live it. And I want to suggest to you today that in this case, given the magnitude of what we've all endured, a simple thank you might not cut it. And so before we all go back to just live our lives as usual, what if instead of just saying thanks, we committed to make a sacrifice? And you know, some of you are getting nervous. You're like, oh boy, the pastor's gonna ask for money. I know it. I can already feel it coming here in the room. You know, listen, no doubt finances are one of the sacrifices that we can make in our lives. And it's going to be one of the type that I mentioned. But there are a few different ones that I'm going to talk about today. And I believe with all my heart that what I have observed as a result of COVID is that many people have rethought their lives. And they thought, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I'm thinking a little different about my time. In fact, I was just talking to somebody out in the patio. It's like, now life is getting busy again. And we're like, gosh, I got stuff on the schedule and I feel kind of busy and it's a little overwhelming again. And we've enjoyed some of the things that have come from the last year. We haven't had to give of our time. We haven't had to give of our talents. And we've had our schedules and our skills all to ourselves for the most part. And many of us are hesitant to give them up again. So what I want to do today is I want to suggest to all of us three possible sacrifices of praise that God may be asking you to take in response to you, him delivering you from and your family from COVID. And so what I have here today is not three things to do. It's three questions to ask yourself, okay? And to pray about. So three questions to ask myself before returning to business as usual. And the first one is this: am I living sacrificially in terms of my treasure? You know, I want to thank you as a church for continuing to trust God with your regular giving, those of you that have been involved in that for the last year and a half. And I want to say unmistakably, we would not be here today without you. No doubt about it. And so let me be clear, if tithing and giving that first tenth of your income to the Lord is just part of your routine in life, you are 100% living the obedient life that God wants you to live. And that's the sacrificial offering that he wants from all of us day in and day out. Now, there are still times in our lives when God asks us to give an above and beyond offering. And you know, those times, I believe the Holy Spirit will nudge us to do that. He'll confirm it and he'll make it obvious. But that first tenth right off the top, that's the part that God wants from all of us. It's an amazing journey that changes our lives. And before we return to business as usual, I think we all need to ask ourselves if we're truly living sacrificially in terms of our earthly treasure. The second question I think we should all ask ourselves is, am I living sacrificially in terms of my time? I believe God may be asking some of you to give of your time. Do you want to know what the number one issue that I'm talking to every pastor across the whole country is right now? Here it is, I'll tell you. The number one issue that every pastor I'm talking to across the country is facing is the fact that they now have to run their ministries with less than half the volunteers that they used to have before the pandemic with the exact same amount of needs. It's true for every church leader I've talked to, and it is 100% true for us today. Now, on top of that, every church that I know of has actually had to add things during COVID, tech-related things and stuff like that, just to meet the demand for the online church, so those of you watching at home can enjoy it. And so what we have is we have more needs than we've ever had with less people willing to fill those holes. Does anyone see a problem that's here? So I want all of us to ask ourselves, am I living sacrificially right here today in terms of my time? And if the answer to that is yes, man, praise the Lord. If you're not sure or you just straight out know that the answer is no, I just want to encourage you to pray about it today. Some of you might be thinking, well, what would I do, you know? Well, man, we have so many needs that you could fill. We need greeters, we need ushers, you know, we need coffee people, we need tech people, we need small group leaders, we need lots of kids volunteers, by the way. And on a slightly controversial note, I may or may not be in a romantic relationship with the children's ministry director. It's my wife, in case any of you are wondering. Some of you are like, man, I'm looking for the exit sign here in this church. What happened to this place during COVID? Oh my goodness. Okay, moving along. Lisa's like, Kyle, don't say that stuff. She's not even here, and she just knows. I can already feel it, right? The point is this, we have so many needs that God could use you to work in. And listen, you can always try something. If you don't like it, we never lock you into it. If you want to try something else, that's our commitment. We're always fine with that. But I just want us to ask ourselves that question. Are we living sacrificially in terms of our treasure? Are we living sacrificially in terms of our time? And thirdly, am I living sacrificially in terms of my talent? You know, God may be asking some of you to give of your talent. And I'll tell you something about this church. We have some amazingly talented people who go to this church. And you know, whenever I say that, I feel like, yeah, you know, it's amazing. And I often think of those who are on the stage. And definitely that's 100% true. We have some amazingly talented people who are part of the services, music and tech and everything. But actually, when I was making that comment, I wasn't making it about anybody on the stage. I was making it about all of you who are sitting in the seats. you know, many of you actually know how to do things that we don't know how to do yet that could actually really bless the church. And I don't know what that might be, because I don't know you like you know you, okay? I just know that if you have something you know how to do that might bless this church and you're willing to do it, it could be an amazing gift for the Lord. Now, I want to be crystal clear before I move on to the next point. I am not asking any of you to do anything right now, okay? Here's what I'm... And so if you leave here and you think to yourself, oh man, the pastor told me to give more and I need to serve more and I'm not doing it enough. Man, that is not the point of this message. All I'm asking you to do is to pray about these three questions. And here's why. Because the first thing Noah did before he went back to business as usual was to make a sacrifice. See, we're called in Romans 12, 1 and 2, living sacrifices. That's our whole offering of worship to God, is our lives as a result of what he's done for us. Now, COVID did not destroy the entire world like it did in Noah's flood, but man, it sure did upend our world, unlike anything any of us has ever seen. And so before we all just go back to business as usual, we need to make sure that we are as committed to living that sacrificial life today in May of 2021 as we were before COVID when all this stuff happened. See, guys, this life isn't meant for us. This life is about the Lord, and it's about us serving the Lord. And so what I want to do now is I want to jump down to Genesis 9:1, and then we'll read verses 8 through 17, if you would read it with me. Genesis 9:1 says this, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And so right off the bat, immediately after they make this offering to the Lord, it says, "And God blessed Noah." See, God always blesses the sacrifices of his people. And then the Lord gives him that command to be fruitful and multiply. And just my take on that for 2 seconds, we've by far met that command. We're good. There's over 7 billion people in the world. So it's still, you know, if you're married, God wants you to have kids, that's an amazing thing. Praise the Lord for that. But I think the biblical mandate has been met. Okay, that's my opinion. But let's jump down now to verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring the clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." So God tells him to be fruitful, to multiply, to populate the earth. And after that, God makes this beautiful covenant with Noah that he would never again destroy the world with a flood. And then that beautiful rainbow appears in the sky as a sign of the covenant. And every time we see that rainbow in the sky, and including in our lives, that we are to remember the covenant of the Lord, his love for us. And so this takes me to the third thing that I think we all need to think about before we just go back to business as usual. Reflect and grieve what lies behind, but focus on the hope that's up and ahead. You know, it's really important to reflect and to grieve the events of the last year. I believe with all my heart that many of us will be dealing with COVID PTSD for quite a while in our lives. It shook just about all of our lives up, and many of you lost loved ones. And we need to grieve those losses, and we need to grieve these events, or we will never truly heal. But at the same time, we know in 1 Thessalonians 14 that the Bible tells us that those who are believers do not grieve as those who do not hope. We grieve, but we grieve as those with hope. And so always keep your head, your heart, and your hopes looking up. See, God delivered you on purpose, and he delivered you for a purpose. And so what I want everyone to do is I want everyone right now to just look at somebody sitting next to you or around you, and if you're watching at home, somebody there, and I want you to just say, "You made it." Right now, just tell them. And if you're watching this in a restaurant right now and you got your AirPods in, I want you to stand up from your seat and scream at the top of your lungs in the restaurant, "You made it!" And just see what happens. I'm kidding. Don't do that. You're probably going to get kicked out. You know, the point is, it's been a hard year. We've all been through difficult things. There's been very significant loss. I don't want to undermine that in any way. But God decided that it was fitting for you to make it. So for some reason, God decided that of all the people that were lost, that wouldn't be you. And I'm here to tell you today that God delivered you on purpose, and he delivered you for a purpose. It wasn't an accident. God delivered you so that you can worship and obey him for the rest of your life. That is the purpose of every Christian, and then to make disciples on this side of heaven. See, to live as a Christian is to live a sacrificial life, and to live a sacrificial life is to live a hopeful life. And the problem with our mindset today when we think of a sacrifice is that we often think of it as a negative thing. You know, we think of it as God trying to take something from us. And the fact is this, a sacrifice is actually an investment into eternity, an investment into even our lives here and now. Everything that we place on the altar is an investment into our heavenly future and even our future here now. And so at the end of this whole year of HE double hockey sticks, you know what Noah did? He made a sacrifice. It was the first thing that he wanted to do. And when he made the sacrifice, the scripture tells us that the aroma of it went up to the Lord, and that it was pleasing as the Lord smelled what they were giving to him. And the smell of the sacrifice went up, and as the smell went up, I picture all these people around a fire watching this altar and these animals burn. And as they're watching the smoke go up, they start to look up. And as they look up, what is it that they see? The rainbow. And there, the Lord reminded them that what they were doing right then and there was an investment into their hope and into their future, that there was a bright sun shining ahead that was for them, that God had taken care of them. And so when, you know, even now, you know, when we think, when we make a sacrifice, we often think like, well, you know, I gave that up, or I let go of that, or I started doing that. And even physically, when we communicate about it, like our body language kind of goes down a little bit, if you've ever noticed that. But I believe a sacrifice is something that should make us open up and look up. And so that's why after offering this sacrifice on the altar, it says the aroma went up. And then when they looked up, they saw the rainbow that was there in the clouds, and they were filled with hope. See, God doesn't want you and I walking around through life with our heads down. God wants us walking around with our heads up, with our hearts up, and with our hope up. And today we are faced with a similar choice that Noah and his family faced at the back end of the flood. We can look back at everything that we've lost and keep our focus there. And no doubt about it, we need to grieve those things. That's why both are true. We need to grieve the past, and we need to look forward for the future. It's not one or the other. It's always both and. But at the same time, God wants us to look forward, and he wants us to look upward at our hopeful future that he has for us. And God wanted to make sure that Noah looked up after the tragedy. And God wants to make sure you and I look up after we've been through everything that we've been through as well. So before we all return to business as usual, we need to remember that some things are so big that a simple thank you may not be enough, and that a sacrifice may be warranted. We need to take a good hard look in the mirror, and we need to ask ourselves, are we giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure? And we need to reflect and grieve what lies behind, and while at the same time focusing our hearts on the hope that is up and ahead. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the hope of the world. Jesus, we thank you that today our hope isn't just because circumstances related to what we've been through are improving. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in you. Our hope is in the fact that you have delivered us on purpose and for a purpose. And Lord, that when we call you Lord, that you remember us and you get us through what we're going through. And Father, we do grieve for all the hardship that has happened, including losses in this church. And Lord, I pray that for those who just still can't make any sense of that, God, I just pray that their hearts would look to you today. And if you're here today and you were to walk out the doors of this church or turn off this screen and you genuinely don't know if you would go to heaven when you die, I believe God brought you to this place unmistakably, so that you would settle that question in your hearts once and for all. You know, God promises to do four things for you. He promises to forgive you of your sin, to adopt you into his family, and to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and to give you an eternal life that's beyond anything you could ask for or imagine. There's just one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. And so if that's you and you're ready to step over the line and become a Jesus follower, it isn't mystical or magical. God hears the faith as you pray the prayer. And so I want to encourage you to pray this with me right now if this is you. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your spirit and give me the power to live this life for you. God, I'm tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. Would you take over? In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen.